be done in that body, what intrinsically is there, so that you have something to work with, that you have something to respond with, something to analyze. In other words, you begin to view life in the proper respect and perspective in order to gain the most of it, to be a real pleasing character, a real pleasing Christian before God. Now it says, for if Abraham was justified by works, and the works were marvelous, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Now that lets you know where works stand. For what saith the scripture, Abraham believed God, was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So there you see right there where James was trying to balance the book, where people took this, even as did Luther. Now, Luther has a fabulous treatise on the book of Genesis, on Romans and other books. And he called the book of James a straw book because he came out of the background of works, 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 of works, however, which were completely dead because they were not based upon a true revelation. They were not motivated by the spirit of the word within the person, so that he was complementary to God by working with God. As the scripture said, it is God in you both willing and doing of his good pleasure. And you can take this verse here and you can let it stand by itself, and so it should stand by itself in its particular category. Now you see, that's just the same as Godhead. You can treat Godhead as one God, and you can come up making everybody believe is Jesus only. But when you treat God and you begin on the premise of seed and the family of God, and you begin to see, this day have I started my generations in thee, not just this day have I begotten a punk, there it is, what are you going to do with it? Oh, marvelous. Oh, here he stands, punk. Forget it. Get to the nitty-gritty. What is he there for? See? What's it all about? This day have I started my generations in thee. That is exactly what it is all about. You see? And this is exactly why Brother Branham said, one day you're going to find you always were saved. Is that a fact? Yes, that is a fact. Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So how come you weren't always saved? Answer me. Well, bless God, I got saved, so and so. My name was in the book, so and so. Hey, listen. This is not the age of stupidity. Amen. This is not the age of the ass. Well, we're still the donkey, the hybrid. This is the age of the eagle, the thoroughbred, who knows his mam and his path and got a record. All right. To him that worketh not, there isn't one work that you can do that justifies you. But as soon as you're thoroughly justified and baptized with the Holy Ghost, there are many works that will identify you whether you are justified. So now where's your short hair, short skirt, skirt split, tight-dressed women come in? And the men, anything goes. I want to know. I'll tell you where it's going to hell and the lake of fire. You can say what you want, but I'm going to stick with God's word. So what about Baal, if you end there? Praise be to God. I'm going to praise him, get my praise in ahead of time, because one day every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess, whether you like it or not. Some men send their sins on aforetime. Others wait for them to catch up. I'm sending mine on by the grace of God, my testimony, everything else. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. In other words, they do not have the position they are supposed to have because they're fallen short. His faith is counted for righteousness, as though he had never sinned, and he's in a state of perfection regardless. Even John concurs with that, that which is born of God cannot sin, for seed remaineth in him. How can the seed of God sin? Well, see, there you go. Screwed up like Hogan's goat. You'll admit that the dog is a dog is a dog is a dog is a dog. A pig is a pig is a pig is a pig. A hen is a hen is a hen is a hen. But God forbid that a child of God should be a child of God should be a child of God. I don't think a chicken was ever meant to eat manure. Now, I don't think, I believe, sure, an eagle never was meant to get in the chicken run and eat manure with chickens. But it happens. Sin entered the world, and all these things brought on a perversion. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Perverted nature out there cannot pervert a genuine seed. It cannot. Because God set everything in order. Brother Branham, specifically preaching on spoken word as original seed, laid it out 100%. And that's the way this verse is. Even as David describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. Now you notice right now that the forgiveness of the sins is only going to go to those to whom God will not impute iniquity, because they are the seed of God and they are of faith. That's why Brother Branham said, you always were saved. You might just come to the place of knowing it. Life of, now, there will always be various opportunities for various successes, but nothing compared to this one choice which determines eternal positioning with Almighty God. Just to get all the background we can before we go on, let us remember that Mark 10, where Brother Branham took his text, is the Alpha of which Matthew 12, that's Christ appearing to the Gentiles, and Luke 17:30 is the same, the days of the Son of Man, is the Omega, with the vindication of John 14 and 12, there is one coming who will do even greater works. And those works were greater of necessity because they must go all around the world to all Gentiles, whereas the works of Jesus were exclusive to Israel. Now, Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9:6-7. So let's go back and look at them. So we might attempt to get a proper understanding, and this is my understanding which I'm going to bring to you. 7 and 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Now that's what his name is. See, it didn't say that he is. It says his name is. Now Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I ask you a question. When was he called that? Of the increase of his government peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Now, when did that happen? You say it hasn't happened. I beg your pardon. It has started to happen. Under Matthew 12. Hold your finger there. Let's go to Matthew 12 and we'll show you in case you're in doubt. And it says in Matthew 12, the 20th verse, a bruised reed shall he not break, the smoking flax shall he not quench. That's according to the book of Revelations. Till he sent for judgment unto victory, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. It started. Now, therefore, in having started, it cannot be long until he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So, all right. Now, Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:6-7 categorically deny the Trinitarian dogma of a three-person Godhead, for it says that God himself, through a virgin-born male child, will come forth through Israel's tribe of Judea, and of the lineage of the tribe of Judah, and of the lineage of David, will himself place this born one on the governmental throne of God, and at that time of his son's coronation to assume his government, he will be called Counselor, the Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, for God is incarnate in him. This is exactly what Brother Branham tells us is to happen when that spirit that's in our midst becomes incarnate to us. We're going to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That will be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And every other title and every other name. That will be it. And that will be the establishment of government because God is invisible. You can't see him. And he manifests intelligently only through man because he's manifesting and trying to get himself across to man, not to angels, not to himself, not to somebody else. And man is tripartite. He's got a body which are senses. He's got a spirit that meets and goes toward the spirit world. And he's got a soul that is genuine from God, which can make a choice to decide whether he's going with the word or not. Now, this is going on according to 1 Corinthians 15, where God himself is now subjecting the church, bringing everything under the feet of Jesus Christ, but he himself. And when this is over, which it will be over after the resurrection and immortality, it'll go clean up to the marriage supper where the incarnation takes place, where he is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Almighty God, the Counselor, the Everlasting One. Now, this is not hard to understand, that Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9:6-7, when you see them in the light of what is in the scripture here in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So we go to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and in verse 18, or 19, well, it's 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us, given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now watch, how was that reconciling done? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Now notice what it says. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now if you dare leave that the way it is, you are going to find yourself in a mess. You can become a Trinitarian. You can make Jesus what he isn't. You can give him a place where God did not give him a place or a role. See? You understand what I'm saying? You can go into a position which is not warranted. Now watch. Just leave out that interpolation and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. Forget it. That hasn't got a thing to do with anything except the fact of Jesus Christ mentioned here being that which caused the reconciliation. Now we're going to partake, but forget it. So let's read the thing without that interpolation. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, to wit. I'm going to explain it, says God, how it's done. That God was in Christ doing the reconciling. Huh? Oh, thank God. You're awake. Huh? Then don't try to put it someplace else. Here, Jesus came down, God the Son of God. Hey, watch him do. He never did anything or said anything. That was of himself. Or, it would have been inconsequential and a debt to him. Huh? Come on. Come on, get your thinking cap on. Smarten up. You haven't been under my ministry all these years for nothing. I don't care who he was. I don't care, he's the Son of God. I get that from Hebrews 2nd chapter. We're the same source. Jesus himself denied that he had anything to do with the works and the word. And William Branham came by and said identical the same thing. So therefore it says, God has reconciled us to himself because he took up a residence in Jesus Christ, his own Son. And he was doing the reconciling. Not imputing their trespasses. Only God can forgive. And so we see what is going on. Now let's see the next picture. It's very, very simple. It's also found over here in Ephesians. You see why I can't be a Trinitarian? Forget it. God the Son. And then they say, I believe in two gods. And the same people can hear this tape by getting in their homes or bootlegging or somebody giving it to them. Believe they was preaching two gods. So Dave Osmick is his father. That's the case. Dave might as well be your grandfather. There's a song about that. I am my own grandfather. Yeah? Made up by a jackass out there. No bigger jackass than the theologians. See, I don't like your language. I can use worse than that. Want to stick around? I can get very vituperous and don't think I can't. Let's read Ephesians 3 and 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, this God who created all things by Jesus Christ. It didn't say Jesus Christ did the creating, it said God did the creating. The same as God did the reconciling. It's with God with whom we have to do. I'm not denigrating the Son, I'm trying to put him where God put him. There's only one God. Now you ignore that Son. You ain't got nothing. Because that's God's chosen place where his name is, period. And the one place of worship. And remember, he is that word because he said, I don't have a word of my own or an act of my own, and the acts prove it. So how are you going to have the Father and the Son conferring and the Son adding his two bits? Huh? Ho, 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 hogwash. I can see the Father and the Son conferring, which they did from the very beginning. And the Father directing the Son, and the Son acting in perfection. The Son's, the Father saying, that's great, that's fine, that's wonderful, that's perfect. Adam had it good, and he blew it. If it had just stayed with what God said and God told him to do, what a wonderful, wonderful earth. Satchmo sings that song. Something about wonderful. He does a good job. Too bad the Christians can't do as good a job in their theology as old Satchmo can do singing a little song. Pitiful, isn't it? Pitiful. Now, here's what I want us to notice. In the Alpha of Mark 10, God himself appears in human flesh. It is certainly not true that God himself is flesh. The Son is the flesh that God resides in. Father and Son are one, only one body concerning flesh. But the Son flesh body was indwelt by God himself, as in Matthew 3, 13 to 17, and Matthew 17, 5b. So let's go to Matthew, the third chapter. Don't you just love it? Now I want to tell you, these guys that fuss and say, leave Baal, you guys believe in three gods, two gods, yip. I'm not nasty. Hey, if I was nasty, I'd be trying to call the wrath of God down upon him. I hear God mocks him from heaven. That's in my Bible. I hear God laughs in derision. He didn't say I should. I don't think he minds, though, too much. Because this isn't my word. I'm not defending my thinking. Okay. Now, we got in here, beginning in Matthew 3:13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. What's it mean to fulfill all righteousness? To do it the way God wants it. Do you know water baptism, therefore, is a righteous act? Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son. I'm happy to come into him. Ha! Three gods, hogwash. One God who indwelt a person. Oh my, that's hard to believe. It's got to be two gods. And why do people claim they're baptized with the Holy Ghost? You know, they're liars. They ain't just liars, they're sick. Sick in the mind. Sick in the heart. The Bible speaks to that, covered with sores. Putrefying sores. Their good works, their filth. Now I'm getting a little secret. What you're hearing this morning and have heard for a long time now with emphasis is what Brother Branham said, the major revelation under the seven seals was Godhead. Did he say it or didn't he say it? Come on. You bet he said it. If you challenge me, we'll get to bring the computer in. I'll show you where he said it. What did he say next? And you must be, thus saith the Lord, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've been baptized wrong, you must be baptized over again. How do I remember that? How can I forget it? I was there. And I was baptized wrong, but I thought, well, what's the difference? I'm baptized a Trinitarian claiming I'm a real oneness believer. Yeah. Oneness what? Okay, let's go to Matthew, the same book. We go to Matthew chapter 17. And in Matthew chapter 17, the end of the fifth verse, the voice speaking out of the clouds says the same thing. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Now he's dwelling in him. So how did the voice come out of heaven? The word heaven is a tricky word. It means a place, elevated place, a place of authority. This is why I believe Brother Branham said, what's up? Which way is up? If I'm at the Antarctic, and everybody knows the North Pole is at the top, yet if I'm at the Antarctic instead of the Arctic, I'm still looking up. Which is up? Where is heaven? Maybe he's right above Israel. Prove it. You're going to get caught out. Few down in Africa, few in America, few in the Orient, east, west, north, south, which is up? Through the earth? Huh? Good question. You answer it, and I'll give you some more things to think about. But even then, this could not be said apart from John 14:7-11, What I said, this was said. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased to dwell. Well, let's see if he's dwelling in him. Now, the testimony of Jesus. You've seen the works, you've seen everything. And what does he say in John 14:7-11? If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know and have seen him. Oh! Good heaven. That's impossible. And so Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Give us a Houdini trick. Wow! Open the heavens. Roll back them scrolls. And I'll be happy. That'll do the trick. What did Jesus say? Have I been so long with you, Philip, and you still have not known me? He that has seen me, and that includes you, Philip, has seen the Father. Then, Philip, how do you say, show us the Father? How do the people say, William Branham? What do you mean? You're looking at me, aren't you? Oh, merciful God. Oh, God. Oh, the man blasphemed. Oh, my. Yeah. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Believest thou not that I am in the Father in me? The works that words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. I'm doing the talking, Philip, but there's someone moving my tongue. And the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me. And that's true. They were completely integrated. God and his Son, period. Now, if you want to get real crude, which maybe I'm a master at, in my ignorance and stupidity, I'm a crude person. You saw a first century Charlie McCarthy, Edgar Bergen, ventriloquist act. As Edgar Bergen was the voice, Charlie's jaw just moved up and down. Jesus was literally, except for the fact that he was intelligent. But in the presence and with God, he was really a wooden Indian. Now, he could remember his past glory. Now, don't get me wrong when I'm saying these. Get the picture I'm trying to give you. I'm trying to show you the complete oneness and the complete separateness. Two. His brother Branham said, now there's two. But you can't get and believe that. Oh, Brother Branham never said it. He meant something else. I can tell you one thing. When Brother Branham laid two $1 bills on the counter, the clerk didn't say, well, Reverend Branham, that's only one. He said, just a minute, that's two $1 bills. Now, suddenly, William Branham, in the presence of God, is an idiot. Two isn't two anymore. Brother Bate, you're so confrontational. You bet your life I am. God never put me here to be a milksop for people's ideas. Listen, believe me, he said, I am in the Father in me. Or get this, the works prove it. Prophet, but God, prophet, God, his own prophet, but through his only begotten Son. The one in whom is all his generations. The one who was not only the first begotten, but the first begotten from the dead. And when he came out, the first Old Testament church came with him, the bride. Now we're waiting for the second. You know, it's not difficult. Maybe the way I get so kind of angry up here and so demonstrative, you get kind of scared and you think it's hard to understand them. I'm scaring you out of an easy, intelligent understanding. My God, this is so simple. What do we want? But you see, what always bugs me is the same. What's God? I'm full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. My body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost teaches me. And there's 3 million more like you. Now you got 3 million gods or something. Huh? You can see why I am not a nice person to deal with when I find people who willfully are ignorant, who simply will not listen that 2 and 2 make 4, and they claim to believe the prophet. Of course, they can get around this nicely. They say, Brother Branham didn't say it under the seals. Ah, but he did. Ah, but he did. What about Melchizedek? Huh? Wasn't under the seals, wasn't in the leadership we read, where he said, we are not oneness, we are not Trinity, neither we believe in two gods. Did he not say that? Well, if he didn't say it, I guess I'm reading wrong. Now, that was Alpha. What about today in the Omega of Luke 17:30, in the days of the Son of Man appearing, and in Isaiah 42:1-4? So let's go there. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him. And he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. How's he going to do it? When did he ever do anything on his own? Even though he was in the adoption. In Matthew 17. And he was the first begotten son. Shared equally everything with the Father. And his name was as good as the Father's on the check. When did he ever try to sign a check on his own? Tell me. Tell me. Said one time, you can ask anything in my name, the Father will do it. Mediator, intercessor. And then he said, there's coming a day when you go direct to the Father. You tell me when Jesus ever said one word in his own or did one thing on his own, you show me. Now, just a minute. Watch what it says. I have put my spirit upon him. What is God? God is spirit. Who's going to do the work? God's going to do the work. Does the Spirit lift up his voice and cry? No. Cry in the streets? No. Does the Spirit, according to Revelation, destroy the bruised reed, break it, the smoking flax quench? No. Till he bring forth judgment unto truth? In the process of Matthew 12, which is the days of the Son of Man, the prophet, the judge, he's bringing us to truth. Which is the God of truth speaking, Revelation 3:14. Jesus himself never said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, as though he were in himself. Because he said, the words that I speak are not my words, they're God's words.
Amen.
God in me doing the work. So now if we bring this down here then, which we do bring it down to John 14:12 is the only place it can go. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Well, that's a very special kind of believing. You better believe. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. So he tells you right there, him having gone to the Father, some person he is going to do greater works, and it can't be anything other than God doing it and God speaking. So Brother Branham was not remiss when they said, Brother Branham, what does it mean? He that seen me seen the Father. You're looking at me, aren't you? Same thing. Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah. Evil spirits can speak through men, but so can the Spirit of God. Brother Branham said what he said. If the manifestation then of God was via human flesh, back there, God being entirely responsible, then that's the same today. Thus God is manifested in and through human flesh again. So that brother could say, you're looking at me, aren't you? With this in mind, what a challenge Brother Branham, or rather God, is sending forth to those people. So keep in mind, this is a confrontation with God. This sermon, this appearing, is a confrontation with God, not the vessel of clay, even as it was in the gospel when God indwelt the vessel of clay, which was Jesus. Since they are rejecting God Himself, who now alone can lead them to Himself, how will they heed the admonition laid forth in the choices that beset them, even as they did the young ruler? And if they did to some degree take up the challenge of the choices, where will it take them? In the light of Romans 11 and 6, and if by grace then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace, otherwise works is no more works. So now, Brother Branham puts choices before them to see if even perchance they have something from God. Or are they going to be like the rich young ruler? Rich. Increased in goods and have need of nothing. He will now tell you the secret. How that God made them wealthy. Hallelujah. And now you can be just like them. I declined with pleasure. In fact, I was like the French philosopher who said, when any man tries to do me a favor, I run so fast, he will never catch me. He said, Brother Vail, don't you believe in having favors done? Not really. The trick is to do favors. Because when someone does something for you, it's over. But when you do something for somebody, it just starts the glorious trail. Hey, isn't that the gospel of grace, or am I misreading something? Am I misreading your hearts today that you haven't caught the glow? Or am I misreading to myself that you really have caught it? Very hard to understand at times. However, that's beside the point. You must live your life, I must live mine. Jesus never coerced. I find it is not good to coerce. It is good to teach and leave it. Now, so Brother Branham on paragraph 154 says, we read it already, you have a choice as a young man whether you're going to have an education or not. You have that choice. You can want to be, just not have it. You can refuse it. What do you do without education? World's a complete mess. America's gone down to literally 100% because the children have not been educated. All the teachers want is more money for more schools, for more junk that's not doing any good. That's the majority of teachers, not a few dedicated ones. But the few dedicated ones are going to find, is it worth the candle? Is it worth my effort to only see the kids pass on to somebody else that doesn't do the job? That's a politician. I had that when I taught. I said, forget it. We had one teacher in the school that I taught in. Didn't teach the kids anything. And that we had a little old red schoolhouse in those days, grades 1 to 8. And we had even having a grade 10 to work on. So my grade ones, I thoroughly taught them. And the inspector came by, which the states has never had. Every school should have inspectors come by. Are the teachers doing the job? Are the kids getting it? No, you can't have it here because that's infringing on your rights, which you need to make money and do nothing for it except be a jackass. Not all teachers, but the majority. Goes right through. He thought my grade ones were the grade twos. I couldn't help with the dumb heading before me did. I quit. You may quit sometimes, Sherry, because it'd be too heartbreaking. Because they ever get you on a higher grade and you get a bunch of kids that weren't taught, what are you going to do? Take your last check and walk out. So, well, that'd be bad. God can use you many places, girl, many places. So, well, why let the good ones go? I'm not saying to go. But I tell you, I've been through that stuff. I've been through it. How would you people like to go and sit under somebody that doesn't really believe the presence? Can't tell you a thing about the judge. This ambivalence, really, is it really preaching two gods, or isn't it? Go and find something. You'll find what teachers go through. Man, it's over, brother, sister. It's over. I mean, it's over. When you have pounded in ignorance, I mean it, when ignorance has been pounded in, where will intelligence come from? When every channel of five in your body, five in your spirit, and the substance of choice in your soul, and you've been pounded from the outside to the inside, every channel filled with the word of creeds and dogmas and filth. Suddenly you're going to have a spring opened up and something flow forth of beauty? Come on. You see why I pound every day when I pound here? I pound mostly for my good because I like to hear myself preach because I know I'm preaching the truth and I'm very lazy. So I come here to get refreshed. You want to sit around? Be my guest. But the more I pound every service here, the more the thoughts come at home and I begin to see more and more. I become wild. I'd like that charging bull out there, ready to make hay. You have a choice of your conduct. I'm going to hurt just a little bit here, see? You can go out and let your hair grow down and be a beetle. Or some of those ignoramuses. As to the men. Oh, brother. Lord, forgive me, but I am not Johnny Cash. I don't care if he's married to the Carters and Billy Graham's best friend. He ain't nothing to me. Just forget him. Your little song about you can't judge a guy by his haircut. Hogwash, you can't. Please don't tell me. And the parents loving it. Don't they know little jerks simply make big jerks? Amen. Little stupids make big stupids? My God, have pity. Bible says, bring a child the way he ought to go, he won't depart. He just gets better or worse. He'll come back somehow. Okay. Or you women. You can look like a decent human being. Well, what else? Or you can be one of those weird creatures that we have out there, those blued eyes, watery head haircuts and things. They're completely against the word of God, which is absolutely contrary, so that no woman can offer a prayer to be accepted before God. And that's exactly the truth. That's what the Bible says. Now, he doesn't quote where it's from, but it's in the Bible. It's in 1 Corinthians. It's also back in the Old Testament. That they that turn away their ear from hearing the word of God, he'll turn away his ear from hearing us, your prayer. Now listen, this is God himself confronting the people to lead them to himself. Now, how many people can take that except weirdos like us? Now, the word's peculiar. The word peculiar in the Greek, I'm not a Greek, but I know enough about the Greek, having read enough. It's a circle with a little dot inside, meaning completely surrounded. God's peculiar people, completely enveloped in God. Ain't going to have these screwy haircuts. Women with gunk on their eyes. Well, I'm sure that Baker's wife can do it. She's a model. You spelled it M-U-D-D-E-L-L. But here's a confrontation by God Himself telling the people, I'm not even listening to you. Aha, William Branham, you don't know. We got these good people here. They prophesy. They lay hands on the sick and they get healed. And yes, I want to tell you, God hears my prayers. Oh, yes, 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 yes. And I'm going to tell you something they don't know is in the Bible. God gives them the flesh. He gives them requests. And He sends leanness to their souls. They don't even know they're part of the Son of Man, the Son of Perdition program. Perverting the power of God to their own usage. In the steps of Cain and Balaam, and Corey, Dathan, and Byron, serpent seed. But what's happened to you, church? You've seen so much television, so many things in the world, it's easy to let your old Adam nature, that's that old soul Brother Branham talks about, getting destroyed. How in the name of heaven can you get rid of your soul when your soul came from God? He said the soul is a nature. If soul is a nature, then soul simply is not a reality. There's no such thing as a soul. It's an atmosphere. Well, then God's an atmosphere. See how you can pervert what Brother Branham says and go screwy, because he says he has certain phraseology. He's using James, a double-souled man. Is unstable in all his ways. Now in there's the power of choice. Which way you're going to go? If you've got the Holy Ghost, you'll always go with the Word. Doesn't say you're going to obey it perfectly. That's why we teach and understand the passive faith and the active faith. And don't you ever think for 1 minute your active faith will take the place of a passive faith and or prove that you have a passive faith. Until you line up right here, start right here. You say yes to everything that you're confronted with. Now the confrontation is a dress code. And the men, it's a doctrine code. Now, if men have the correct doctrine, they will dress right. They will be right. The women don't have the doctrine code. They must be taught it. So the men must major in the doctrine, and the women must major in a conduct. Because they follow what they're taught. As the Bible said, if a woman wants to ask a question, go home and ask her husband. If he can't answer, he better go back and get the preacher, the minute anybody can help him. Get the question settled. What's happening? You've seen so much television. So you let your old Adam nature, the Adam nature that did what? Decided against the Word. And how do you do it? You drift. You don't take a stand. You drift. What would they sing on Christ, the solid rock I stand? But they forget Matthew. They said, he that builds his house upon the sand. That's off the Word of God. That doesn't take the Word of God. He built his house upon sand. Winds blow, floods come, goes down. But he that builds himself upon the revealed Word of God, his house is rock. It can't fall. Why? Because the foundation is there. And everything going on that foundation must be identical to the foundation. So the church had a choice. They had too many in there that were like the old Adam soul. They made the wrong choice. They weren't the seed of God. You drift and you act like the rest of them. May I repeat this again? In the kosher. Now, kosher simply means according to the dietary laws. In the dietary laws of God, the atonement. That's the shedding of the blood and the eating of the sacrifice. In the days of Moses, when Moses brought the children out, there was to be 7 days that were to, there were to be no leaven among the people. Anyone knows that. And next is, no leaven shall be found in your camp at all 7 days. That 7 days represented the full 7 church ages, both then and now. No leaven. Now what is that? No creed. Well, William Branham, that's merely your talk. Is it? This man had thus said the Lord, they are confronting God. Now what's your conduct? Is your conduct in worship based upon a revelation? Or are you just taking the communion? Now hear what I've been preaching all these years is before you by the prophet. You don't simply take communion. That does it. That's fine. That's this. You are to have a revelation of God's word and be full of the Holy Ghost, or it becomes a debt to you. Do you ever stop to think that may be one of the reasons there's AIDS? Especially by transfusion? Thousands and thousands with AIDS by transfusion. Thousands and thousands of people, they're homosexual, trying to worship God, trying to barge into the church and say, well, we can be homosexuals and have homosexual women and lesbians and all and worship God. Oh, can you? Come again. Come again. You drink damnation to yourself, eh? Huh? Blood! Don't be superficial. Now, right now, I could call a little meeting here like a lot of preachers do, and they'd say, I want everyone to stand up and confess and make right with everybody. You wouldn't happen. You'd do it. You'd cry. You'd scream. You'd holler. And in 3 months, this church would be empty or full of crap. I've seen it happen. I'm talking to you. You do. Let God work in your heart what I'm talking about. You see the truth. You got to see it for yourself. I just preach it here. I get it from Brother Branham. No leaven, no creep. Don't add a word, don't take a word, don't have an idea. You don't have a thing coming. That's what one fellow left. He couldn't stand it. You don't have a thing coming. He had lots of things. One of these things was, oh, he told Norman, I think at one time Satan was the bride of Christ. What was a marvelous revelation, wasn't it, Norman? What did you do? Did you just go, Oh, yeah, I'm sure you jumped up and said, that's right, I love that. I'm sure you did, yeah. All 125 pounds. 250. Yeah, just rejoiced. Can you imagine sitting here? Huh? What are some of you thinking, men and women, this morning? Come on, what are you thinking? You long for the ride? Well, I'm glad to have you here, but that's not the answer. What is it? What's in the heart? Let me tell you again. I'm not given to lurid. Maybe I'm given more than I think. But I don't like lurid illustrations. But I want to remind you again, when the Russians came into East Germany, and the Germans knew it was all over. And there were airplanes there, and the bigwigs, the brass was there. And they let the people know, was lies, that they'd get them out of there. And as the Russians came to take over, what did they do? They began drinking and stripping themselves nude and having indiscriminate sex. What am I trying to tell you? If you're here and I'm here in the Great Tribulation, in the start and these things, we will not be little lambs. No. All wretched vileness will take over. Amen. Because that's all there is when that spirit moves out of here. Well, I'm not adding to the word. I'm just telling what happened during the Second World War. I got that right out of the Veterans of the Foreign War magazine. Vividly, luridly described. Check it out. Go find out. Turning down this word is worse than losing an international battle. It's worse than losing your life because everybody has to die. But we don't have to die. The cesspool of spiritual, mental, physical corruption. Now, no leaven. What is that? No creed. Jesus said, if you love the world, so that's the creed, right? The love of God is not in you. What do we find over here in Matthew 24? Well, we know that's a great chapter that Brother Branham loved. So we go to 27 and 28. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even from the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's the days of the Son of Man. The light comes. For wherever the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered. Then notice, right after that, there comes the tribulation. Okay. The light being turned down can lead to only one place as a tribulation. And listen, what does that signify? It signifies, now listen, watch carefully and do not get disgusted with my language. But according to the book of Revelation, nothing but a bunch of whores. Because they're cast into the bed of great tribulation with the old prostitute herself. I read it to you. Right after the days of the Son of Man, the truth, hurling forth unto judgment, bringing us into victory, the God of truth, the great judge. And remember, that was the mystery of the seven church ages and the seven seals. Who was standing there? The judge all the way through. And it didn't say the Son of Man. It says like unto a Son of Man. There is no such thing as a prophet per se. And don't you ever think there is, or you're lying. It's word, my brother, my sister. It's word. The prophet only stands there with the truly revealed word of God. The prophet is nothing. The word is everything. Amen. And through those seven ages, the judging word stood there. Paul said, judge by my word, thy gospel, by one Christ Jesus. And he is that word. And the church has been judged all down the line. And now at the end, in the full revelation, there is nothing left but a bunch of whores, prostitutes. Because it says right here, immediately after the tribulation of those days, immediately then comes the tribulation and the sun is darkened. Under the sixth seal breaks forth, which already started under Hitler and Stalin, to come against Israel finally, because they're going to blame Israel for everything. They're not going to blame Israel just because they hate Christ and this and that. They're going to be, they already had an entente and a contract so they can survive. But the Jews have the paper, right? And the paper's going to go. Then who's going to get blamed? Huh? Huh? Come on. If they find out a little place down here is leaking uranium, who are the people going to descend upon when they find their kids dying of cancer? Huh? Or we'll just stand back and be nice. Nice. Come on. What, a bunch of milksops? God destroys those that destroy the earth, and we're part of that earth. God's got a judgment on it. We're supposed to stand back then and say, well, we're nice people. Nice. What nice about what? Nice because you like blueberry pancakes with maple syrup or something? Come on, forget it. This is a battle. This is where you take sides with Jesus, who is the Word. Listen to what he says. He says, no creed, no world. One word off is Satan's kingdom. One word off is the world. The Bible said in the days of Noah, God spared the world of the godly and destroyed the world of the ungodly. And what made the difference? A prophet called Noah. And if he wasn't God to the people, you just tell me what he was. All right, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God is not even in you. Now, did Brother Branham mean the love of God, or did he mean the God of love? To Brother Baylor, the same thing, not exactly. Not exactly, only under certain conditions. And in this hour, the love of God is the God of love, because Brother Branham said, this is the age of brotherly kindness, not love. Right? Did he say it or didn't he say it? And didn't he say love is God and God came down? Is it true or not true? And isn't it true that when in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Brother Branham said love is the Holy Ghost? God himself, didn't he say that? He certainly did. So what's he saying? He said, the God is not in you. The Holy Ghost is not in you. God is not your head. You have nothing to do with him. And in the confrontation, you deny him. You turn down the very Lord that bought you. He said, well, I love Jesus. I love that man. Just a minute. Jesus per se did not buy you. God was in Christ reconciling, and Jesus is known as the blood of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I got scripture I could read later on. I might get to it. I don't know. All right. See? And we're trying to mix that. You can't do it. You've got to come to one thing to believe. One thing. Confrontation. Vindicated word. You're either going to believe God or you're going to believe your church. That's the church world of the ungodly. And remember, the church, the harlot and prostitutes go to the tribulation. You're going to believe the world because that is the world in Scripture. You cannot mix it together. You can't hold to those old things that the other church ages did before you. And he talks specifically of the last three ages, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. And there's only one way to make sure you're getting dressed is to say what the prophet said. Don't say what your church said. Every time a thought comes in your mind that you feel that you gathered from your old church and it seems to align with Brother Branham, stop right there. That's what the oneness people did. They don't believe Brother Branham when he said, I'm not oneness. Because he was a oneness of the Godhead. But he wasn't Jesus only. So they don't examine what he said. And they buried Jesus only preacher like this guy in Canada. I won't mention his name, even know him. The veil teaching two gods. He said Jesus only. And all the Trinitarians are becoming Jesus only. It isn't Jesus only. It's God who had a son and he gave him his name. They said to him, who are you? Whose son are you? Jesus' son. What do they call you? Jesus, I got my father's name. Jesus means Jehovah's Savior. God was in a man. A pre-existent one of a dimension you and I don't have a clue about except he was equal with God. Now, isn't this strange that Satan was not equal with God? He only led in the worship and he tried to take the kingdom over. And here was one who could have said, Dad, let's you and me split. Huh? Come on. See, I don't believe that. The Jews understood it. I've read it to you. He said he's the Son of God. He makes himself equal. And Paul came along and said he was equal. Though he were a son, he learned obedience. You can't make him God. He's the Son of God. We came just like him. Except we bypassed that certain form. Tell the Jesus only that. Oh, they can't remember that. Huh? Well, they got him comatose or something. Merciful God. Huh? What's the major revelation under the seven seals? There's what? And what do you got to be? Yeah. Now, just suppose that you're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ under the wrong revelation of a oneness. Where do you go now? Out. Huh? Come on, come on. Don't tell me. You can take the Lord's Supper and be baptized in everything else without the true Holy Ghost baptism on that seed within you, and you receive this revelation here and you walk away and think you can do what you want. Come on. This is the dividing line where eight people made the ark. I don't say eight people are going to make the ark today. Merciful God, Brother Branham, one place said 500, 700, 5,000, 7,000. Who knows and who cares? I don't care if 70 million people made it. That's still five. What's that? There's still 500, 5 billion people left. Merciful heaven. Right? Certainly that's right. Listen, and you can't hold to the old things that the other three church ages, those ages before you, any of them before you did. You've got to take the message and the hour. Yeah. Now, what do you tell the women? You haven't got a clue, ladies, because you're dressing wrong. Huh? You're dressing wrong. You're cutting your hair. And slacks are worse than even wearing shorts. Oh, that made him wonder, didn't it? And they complained in bellyache, and he said, well, just a minute, I don't care if the stores don't have them. There, people can buy sewing machines and nice dress and nice cloth. And that's one thing I'm so happy about, our sisters here. I commend you all around the world, and the tapes go many places in the world. Hundreds of places I don't even know about and care less. We got ladies here that are tremendous seamstresses, and they'll help their sisters who aren't so good. Great cooks, wonderful mothers. Good wives. At least I hope to God the most you're good wives. You better be. You're going to answer for it. You husbands, if you're not, you're going to answer for it. You know, you're just not here sitting around picking your noses, as it were. God put Adam under a law of grace and love and said, work. Well, it's too bad he blew it. But I got consolation to you. What we missed, we're going to get back. I don't know how it's all going to be, but we're going to get it all back. Well, we never get very far when I read my preamble, when I know that there's something in here that is what I consider. And I considered it. And I trust you've been blessed. And I knew we were going to have a good service. See, sometimes I know things. That's right. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your mercy, your goodness, your kindness, your love. Especially, Lord, to take us and show us more and more into the depth of the reality of that which is so simple, but men have mired and mucked over for 2,000 years of disgrace, which has taken over your age of grace until this hour when grace more abundant had to be because of sin more abundant, more prolific. For as sin hath abounded, unbelief in all of this, even grace hath more abounded. Even as death has risen to its highest heights, life has come to its highest heights. And if there ever was a time, Lord, of the greatness of God, we know that this is that hour spoken of. It is beginning. And will increase, as Brother Branham said, like the Roman candle. Now, Lord, let it be in each one of us, taking us on and on and on by the sheer force of the waters that flowed from the eastern gate that Ezekiel saw, waters to the ankle, to the knees, to the thighs, waters to swim in, water to carry them over. The rapturing grace of Almighty God, taking us to the wedding supper. Lord, when you reincarnate yourself, great and mighty God, turning from the pillar of fire into that beautiful, wonderful Son that became flesh, and you through him became flesh, incarnate yourself, we will crown you King of kings and Lord of lords. Altogether lovely, Counselor, Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I don't care what all the titles are, Lord, and all the names. I know they will be all there And we will be there in that familiar, wonderful relationship where all of these things dissolve as they've never dissolved, even with the baptism, because of that human nature and that humanness that lies there. But now, in that glorified state where we come into what then becomes a true word, physical body, spiritual body. Yes, spiritual, wonderful. To be able to be imbued with all of that, then walking in that light with you and with each other. My, that spells everything that we have hoped for, and yet by looking at ourselves have denied. But today, Lord, by your grace, we look at them, welcome them, receive them, and call them our own, even as those old pilgrims did. They took the promises and made them their own and turned their backs on everything else and said, this is it or nothing. And it was it. And that's what the prophet tells us this morning, Lord, in this little message of a few paragraphs. May we take it to heart. May we believe it. May it be a part of us as never before, O God our Father. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our mediator, intercessor. Yes, through him, the elder brother, be all glory and honor, and all of us together. In that name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus.